It's time for Caffeinated Comics, a lively discussion and debate on comics, film, television, and collectibles, all fueled by the magic of Frappuccinos. Caffeinated Comics is sponsored by Chimeras Comics. Chimeras is your one stop for comic books, graphic novels, hero clicks, Magic the Gathering, and more. Explore the fantastic at Chimeras Comics. And now, here's your hosts, John and Steven.
Thank you, this is Caffeinated Comics. I'm your host, John Clark. With me, as almost always, is my co-host,
Steven Brown.
And Kevin Ryan is back.
Kevin Ryan is back.
It's been a little while since you've been here.
Arkham.
Was it when Arkham Origins came out?
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow, that has been a while. I played it twice.
I've only played it the once, but I did the new game plus thing.
So. Yeah, I played it on easy.
Yeah, I did.
John just wants the story.
I get frustrated, and then I'm just like, just show me what happens.
Right.
Just show me. There's no other way to watch this Batman movie than to have to fight guys with my controller, so that's what I'm going to do. We initially had a really big show this week, and it's going to be bumped back for next week because we have a really, really big news story, is that the new Star Wars trailer came out as a recording yesterday, Friday, the Black Friday.
Yeah.
It came out the day after Thanksgiving.
2 days after the Jurassic World trailer.
Right, which is also this week.
A week after the next Batman video game trailer.
Arkham Knight. Yeah, there was some Arkham Knight gameplay saw this week.
Yeah.
There's a lot of teasing, I think, with Christmas ramping up. Everyone's starting to think of next year.
Yeah.
But there's been a lot of announcements, so we figured, all right, we should jump in. And Kevin texted me about, well, what do you think about the Star Wars trailer? And I knew he would have thoughts about it.
I do.
So I said, why don't you just come over?
There you go.
Come over, we'll put a microphone in front of you.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm so good about that.
Talk into it.
Yeah. So we've all watched it multiple times. And the internet's going crazy, so we can get into minutia, because I think people want to hear the minutia.
Yes.
What'd you think?
For me, I think that the reason why it's gotten 8 million hits on YouTube is because nobody really knows what's going to happen. And I do remember when the Phantom Menace trailer came out, and everybody was curious about what would happen to that, but we still knew it was going to happen. We knew that there was going to be a kid named Anakin Skywalker and that he was going to end up being Darth Vader. With this movie, we have no clue really what's going
on. We also knew with Phantom Menace that George Lucas was going to do it. This is the first movie that he has no involvement in.
Which is awesome.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm digging that.
Yeah, I think it can only help at this point.
I agree.
So there is this kind of mystery to it, and I think that's why I haven't quite come down on, like, this is the most awesome thing ever or this is going to suck.
Well, the trailer's what, 90 seconds, maybe 60 seconds?
Yeah, it's a minute and a half.
It's a teaser,
but they leave that title up for a very long time and then they have credits rolling, so it feels like it's less than a minute of footage.
Yeah, and it's they really don't show anything that would give any kind of plot.
No, there's no characters really in it. I mean, you see two actors, which are both new characters. You do not see Mark Hamill or Harrison Ford or characters.
Yeah, none of the returns
in this at all.
And even the Sith guy they show, you only see from the back, so you don't even know what he looks like.
We don't know
really
what he looks like. We see a new lightsaber. We see a lot of world building.
Yeah.
Yeah. And maybe that's actually what's going to be really cool. I mean, the couple really nice shots you see is, the first one you see is a stormtrooper without a helmet on. We've never seen that before,
and
right?
And he's not a clone. He's not another Jango Fett.
Yeah, you figure the way the stormtroopers worked was during the Clone Wars, they were all the same dude. And then after the Clone Wars, well, fucking a lot of clones died, and they stopped making clones. So they would just conscript from every world the Empire took over. So if you were like a humanoid and fit in that armor, you're in the army now. You're part of the Empire's, you know, stormtroopers.
Right, which is why they're different.
Right.
Which is kind of retconning to show that they weren't all the same size in the original movie.
Right. And then you figure that's why there's such horrific marksmen, too, is because they're not the perfect soldier they were during the Clone
Wars.
Yeah,
that's totally retconning. They're such horrific soldiers because the lead characters
don't
die.
It's a conscripted army. Yeah. But it was really cool. So it's a good shot of a couple things. It's all scenes that show people like getting ramped up. Like there's the droid zooming across the desert. The X-wing thing takes off.
It's like a soccer ball droid.
Yeah.
Some people hate it.
It makes sense.
I kind of dig it. I kind of like this like magnetized R2-D2 head.
Oh, you think it's gonna be like a new character? Like, they're going to introduce, like, a new droid to, for the team or
whatever?
Well, it's
definitely a new type of droid, whether or not it's a character or just a background.
Something you'll just see real quick.
Yeah, but we've never seen anything like that before. Yeah.
All the droidicas in the prequels.
That's true, yeah. Yeah.
But they were more like Transformers. They curled up into balls and then came out. This looks like...
This thing is on, like, a
this
sphere.
This looks like it's physically a ball. It doesn't look like it opens. It looks like... That's true. It looks like it's, a, like, kind of like a remote control ball and the head is staying on top.
It's like a hamster wheel.
Yeah, right. It's a hamster wheel with an R2-D2 head.
Yeah.
Which, you know what? There's your first marketing.
Yeah.
Right there.
Exactly.
So we see that, and I think it is interesting that it's world building. I was thinking about this today, is that with the prequels, we were introduced to all these new characters that didn't exist in the original trilogy, and it was still Star Wars.
I mean,
the major characters that we saw in both trilogies really only have cameos in the prequels.
Yeah, you figure the only characters you see in all six movies is Vader and the droids, right?
Yep. Right, yeah, and I mean, Vader's a completely different character in every movie.
And he won't, you figure, won't be in this movie unless he's
he's dead.
Force ghost.
Yeah, and then C-3PO and R2-D2, but really in the prequels, they mostly just show up and wave at you. Attack of the Clones, they run around being crazy.
Yeah.
But they don't do much in Revenge of the Sith.
Oh, you see Yoda, I guess. Well, he's not in the first two, though.
Yoda's dead, too. Yoda dies in Return of the Jedi.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's the other thing. It's just like, we're going to have all the main characters going to be old versions of all the beloved quote-unquote characters who aren't dead. And then, like you said, they're going to have to introduce... There will probably be a new young Jedi they'll probably introduce. Oh, yeah. Maybe that girl.
Obviously, we have a new Sith.
Yeah.
That has a new lightsaber.
Because the Emperor's dead, too. So there's no Sith at the end of Return of the Jedi, right? I mean, none that we know about.
But this is called The Force Awakens. So I have to imagine... Well, we see a character with a red lightsaber and calling The Force Awakens, we have to assume... And the voiceover says there is a dark side and a light.
Yeah.
So maybe we have to assume that the Sith are coming back in this movie.
What would be crazy, because the Emperor was like this old shrivelly dude who had like... But was like the most powerful Sith, right? Well, now... All that energy maybe has to go somewhere, so this new Sith might be the most dangerous Sith we've ever seen, because he's younger, he's something we've never seen before, he's got this crazy lightsaber, like, it's pretty wild.
I think it's Luke.
Oh, snap!
I think that's what it is. I mean, you have to remember that in the Star Wars mythos, you have... light and dark, and when the Emperor and Vader died, it left
a vacuum,
a void where there was only good, but there was only one of them. And the thought is generally that Luke might have started a Jedi Academy to try and bring them back.
Yeah.
And right. He,
which is a lot of the books and the comics, which Luke has said himself years ago, don't count.
Right.
And I can imagine J. Abrams is saying the same thing.
I think they did. They made an official announcement, didn't they?
Yeah, they're not canon, but they never were. I mean, they're still interesting stories. But as far as who the bad guy is, if you just look at it from the prior Star Wars trilogy, is that Obi-Wan Kenobi was actually Luke's uncle. He was.
Like, genetic uncle?
Yes.
What?
According to George Lucas.
Really?
Yep.
Because he's not blood relation of Padme or Anakin.
To Uncle Owen and Aunt Beru. He's related to them. So
is
he's related to Luke somehow.
Okay.
And when
you... Because you get the impression in... Is it Attack of the Clones or is it in Sith where he meets them? That he meets them
Attack
for
the
first
Clones.
Time. Yeah, Anakin meets him in Attack of the Clones, but I can't remember if Obi-Wan meets him.
Because Obi-Wan drops small. I'm pretty sure,
Obi-Wan drops the babies off at the end of Sith.
Yeah, but
and you can tell they don't like him.
In the, that one, the Darth Maul, what's the name of that movie?
Phantom Menace,
yeah, that's, he meets him in there. It's for the first time, right? He meets him as a kid. That doesn't mean they're not related, it just means that's the first time he meets Anakin.
Hmm.
That's something that
Chris Lucas
heard
had a lot of
years ago.
Yeah, but you know, even a lot of his backstory he went and changed too.
Sure. Yeah, a lot of rewrites. And then like you said, if it wasn't, because I heard the announcement was that if it wasn't in the movies, it doesn't count. So if they never mention it, they could just say, no, it's not happened.
That's fair.
Yeah, and that's not to pin them in,
but
continuity, you know?
I think if that Sith we see in the trailer, if that's Luke Skywalker, that is going to be the craziest thing. But then how do they keep that secret? Because they show him going dark in the movie? Or when we get a full trailer, assuming they have to show us Luke and Han at some point.
I think that he's exiled, like Obi-Wan or like Yoda. And I think that he's off somewhere because
it looks like he's in the middle of nowhere in that scene. He's just in the wilderness.
He's afraid of his power.
That's so crazy.
And the other thing is, if you start to feel the Force awakening, or as the title says, you have possibly children who I'm assuming that girl is on the speeder is Han and Leia's child.
Yeah, I think she is when they made the casting announcement.
But that's also Luke Skywalker's niece.
Right, and Princess Leia too. Had the Force within her.
Right. The Force is kind of genetic, right? I mean, at least it's...
Yeah, that's what they said in the prequels, is basically that you run strong in some lines because of your midichlorians.
But when you're talking about the most corrupt Force bloodline, you have to remember that at the head of that bloodline is Darth Vader.
Right.
It's maybe it's like the Skywalkers can't help, but the older they get, the more corrupt they get kind of thing. Mm. That'd be kind of crazy.
Because remember how Uncle Owen and Aunt Beru tried to tell Luke, stay away from Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
Stay away from him. He's just a crazy old...
Wizard. Yeah, they didn't want him going anywhere near
him. They didn't want him going near there because he would have learned who he was.
Yeah, right. And they didn't want that because they thought, oh, he'll be susceptible. And that's very interesting. Yeah.
He's got too much of it.
He's too much of his father.
And remember, too, didn't they hint that, like, Leia might have Force powers, too? In, like, Return of the Jedi, she's like, they're like, oh, Luke.
Force runs strong with her. His family.
She communicated with Luke at the end of Empire Strikes
Back. Right, they said, oh, I know he's still alive, or she found him on this Cloud City thing.
Hanging underneath Cloud City,
Because that'd be the other thing, that'd be a nice surprise, is to show her use Force powers. Maybe in like a crisis where she's the only one left to defend somebody or something, and then she's facing a Jedi.
And don't forget, this isn't the only movie.
There's gonna be three.
Yeah, and the side movie.
There's a bounty hunter movie. They said
Boba Fett.
Yeah, Boba Fett movie. There's supposed to be a young Han Solo movie. It's kind of like what Spider-Man was a year ago, where Sony said there's gonna be all these sequels, and then there's gonna be side movies, and then of course after Amazing Spider-Man 2 bombed, they backed off that, and nothing's set in stone until people are shooting things.
Yeah, we guys are a little bit more internet savvy than I am. What's the general reaction from fans?
People are calling J.J. Abrams Jar Jar Abrams.
Oh snap! That's a little harsh.
There's that. The thing is that there's just a tremendous amount of speculation. Where are the X-Wings going? Who's the African-American gentleman in the Stormtrooper outfit?
Yeah.
Why does he look so distressed?
Yeah.
You know?
And he looks like he's on Tatooine, maybe, or at least another desert world.
So, is he...
Yeah, I think it's going to be Tatooine, because that, more and more, that seems to be the center of the Star Wars saga.
Well, it's a place that it's furthest from
the brightest center of the universe. There's so much happens there. Yeah. They just keep going back
everything
in the prequels.
Everything happens there.
Pretty much. Everything is significant happens
even
on
even in Star Wars, when Luke sells the land speeder, he says, that's okay, I'm never coming back here. And then he goes back there.
Yeah. Then he goes back. You have to look at it like this, if that girl on the speeder is Han and Leia's daughter, what are they all doing on Tatooine?
Yeah, you figure the universe is a huge place.
And Tatooine's a horrible place to be.
I assume, though, and I don't know, but is the whole planet's a desert, right? The whole planet of Tatooine is a desert.
That's the whole thing about Star Wars. The planets only have one terrain.
So
you got your forest planet,
ice planet,
rain planet.
I mean, the thought...
Lava planet.
You could, and this is, again, just me spitballing here, but you could think, with Jabba the Hutt dead, with Han Solo's criminal connections...
Oh, maybe Han's the new Hutt?
He and Leia could be the system of government on Tatooine.
That would be crazy.
Because Princess Leia's a princess.
I like all of these suggestions.
I like all your crazy
What else is in this movie? Tell me.
I mean, I've read a lot of the extended universe stuff, and this is, again, I don't know. I mean, as far as the Stormtrooper goes, I really think that it's someone who's infiltrating the Stormtroopers for some reason.
Yeah.
Or it's an homage to the Death Star when Han and Luke were in Stormtrooper.
Oh, right, yeah.
Well, I'm also wondering who the Stormtroopers are, because they were created by the Republic. They got turned to the Empire. I'm assuming there's no Empire. The Empire is done in Return of the Jedi.
But then why are there TIE fighters?
So what is the system of government? Yeah, and there are TIE fighters in the air, which I've never seen.
We
see the Millennium Falcon zoom around TIE fighters right over the ground. They've always just been in space.
And the other thing, too, is we see that ship with all those stormtroopers in it, and then the dock thing goes down, they all rush out. Like, they're going to a conflict.
They're jumping somewhere.
Yeah, they're kind of like the gunships.
So
the
then
prequels.
Who do the, like you said, who do the stormtroopers report to if there's no Empire?
Right. Are they good or are they bad? Because in the prequels, they were good. And
in
the original trilogy, they were evil.
You have to think that not everybody got eradicated.
there has to be some remnants of the Empire, right? Because it was galactic. It was a galactic Empire.
Well, and the same thing with... because I'm learning that through the Jedi. I've seen Star Wars Rebels just a couple of times, the new animated series that took over Clone Wars. And Jedi are popping up in there because... just because they said the Jedi were wiped out?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's figured it's like 90% of the Jedis, but if there's thousands of Jedis, there's still a couple hundred left around.
You know, Obi-Wan was in hiding for 20 years with nobody finding him. In fact, he like goes up to stormtroopers and wipes their brains. How many other Jedi are that? Which leaves it open for me to think maybe that Sith is a brand new character, or maybe not. I mean, there could... maybe the Skywalkers weren't the only ones.
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, probably... you know, the other crazy thing for me is, where the hell are those X-Wings going?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then that's the other thing. If the Rebel Alliance has all the X-Wings or whatever, and the Empire, which is maybe fractured, so it's factions of the Empire, so, and then what kind of government do the Rebels establish after the Empire falls? Do they establish any government?
Right.
Do they reestablish the Galactic Senate? Is the Stormtroopers maybe the police force for the Senate or something? It's like...
yeah, and we have both...
they have so much work to do.
We have both...
it would make it come full circle if they had the Stormtroopers as the police of the Galactic Senate.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
And we have both X-Wings and TIE Fighters in here. Which one is good?
You know what would be awesome, too? Or maybe, who knows, awesome is maybe the strong word, but, you know, they do the scrolling credits in the sequel to give you kind of a catch-up of, like, what the story is. They're going to have to do, like, 16 paragraphs to just be like, okay, some shit has gone down since Darth Vader died. Here's what you missed.
They're going to explain all of it, but the other thing is that it has to tie into the other movies that are coming out.
Yeah, they have to, because they have to explain what's changed and then set up what's coming.
And that's what this trailer is doing. It's not giving us any plot. It's not giving us any character moments. It's just going, this is what the Star Wars world looks like now.
Yeah.
We give you some of the familiar ships, including the Millennium Falcon itself.
Oh, yeah, which is awesome.
Some of the familiar robots. We don't really see any aliens in this.
No, no aliens and no familiar characters. The only familiar characters we see
familiar terrain.
The stormtroopers and the well, sand, but that could be, like you said, that's...
well, and then there's the ships.
Right, the Millennium Falcon, the X-Wings, and the TIE Fighters.
The ships and the backgrounds and
it is nice, too, like, everything's a little updated. So, like, the Stormtrooper's armor, because it evolved from, like, Clone Trooper armor to Stormtrooper armor, now it's evolved again, so it's a little sleeker.
Yeah, kind of like, it looks like the goggles kind of trail down the cheeks.
Yeah.
Which I like. It's got kind of, like, the black kind of bleeds around the face.
Stormtrooper outfits are different, the X-Wing...
yeah, the Stormtrooper outfits are definitely different, because you see the close-up when the guy pops up.
Yeah.
And you see on the back, he's got, like, one dot on his back instead of the 011 that the original Stormtroopers had.
Even the X-Wing pilots' uniforms look a little different, where it's
yeah, they had the insignia
orange.
Yep,
like
they had the insignia
red.
Only on one side. They didn't have the double. So I like the little tweaks. It seems like it's more faithful to Star Wars than the prequels were. Because Lucas went out of his way to make things not look like the original trilogy, to the point where he created a whole new design
almost,
look. For,
yeah.
And I think that's one of the things that makes those trilogies feel so separate. I don't feel like it's a six-movie saga the way I feel that about Harry Potter or...
Star Trek.
Star Trek,
or even the Marvel movies all have a very similar.
Yeah, or the Hobbit and Lord of the Rings.
Yep.
Once it'll be finished, I
mean,
those feel. Say what you will about the Hobbit, it still feels.
It feels
like
exactly
that same
like
world.
Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Movie.
Yeah, those prequels don't feel like the same world as the original trilogy. This feels more like it.
Yeah.
While giving a nod to the prequels.
Yeah, because one of the things I really liked about the design of Star Wars initially, the first group of the films, the first three they did chronologically, or in the real world, everything wasn't so sleek. You know, you always saw ships in space were so sleek and so polished looking. And Star Wars was a movie where it was like the Millennium Falcon. It looked like a hunk of junk. It looked awesome, but it looked like this thing has been in space for years. And then they did the prequels, and it's like, here's a silver, shiny, smooth ship that looks like glass. Here's a ship that's...
and
it's like everything
looks
so pristine.
And at the time, Lucas said, this is to show how far the Empire drives the galaxy down. But you're right, it doesn't feel like the same universe.
Yeah, because it doesn't make sense that the Empire would drag down, like, everything. A lot, yes, but it doesn't seem like everything would just get that, you know, everything looked like Tatooine.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's like having the Batmobile in Spider-Man. It's close, but it just doesn't feel like it belongs
there. It's, like, too goofy.
Regarding the prequels, there is one point from the prequels that I think should... we should talk about, because it will come up in a second, which is talking about the lightsaber.
Okay.
This has been controversial.
It is.
I've seen it all over Twitter and Facebook. People have redesigned it already.
Yeah, yeah. I saw that there's somebody did a thing where they added a bunch of little things. They made it like a little chainsaw. I've seen all kinds of
stuff.
Yeah,
because if you haven't seen it, it's like a medieval sword where you have the main thrust, but instead of just a normal cylinder the way it had, or the Darth Maul where it came out the back, it has two daggers
coming out of the hilt.
That are energy. They're coming out of the hilt. Yeah. And a lot of people are claiming that would just chop your hand off.
Well, here's the thing, is that in the prequels, it was made clear that the Sith have a rule of two. There's a master and there's the apprentice. So if you watch the prequels and you're in for that abuse, the first Phantom Menace has Darth Sidious / Emperor Palpatine, and his apprentice is Darth Maul.
Right.
In Attack of the Clones, in the beginning of Revenge of the Sith, it's Count Dooku.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then it becomes Anakin.
Right.
So there always has to be two.
Yeah, yes. you have Grievous, but they kind of make it clear that Grievous doesn't understand the Force.
He's like a robot guy.
He's mostly robot, so he learned how to fight with lightsabers.
Yeah, but Dooku trains him how to use lightsabers.
But he doesn't use the Force.
No.
So who is it that we're seeing in the trailer? The Master or the Apprentice?
Well, to your theory, maybe Luke has got to be a Master at this point. Correct. So maybe we're seeing his Dark Apprentice. Because we're not seeing a good Jedi. We're not seeing someone with a blue lightsaber.
Clearly, evil because of the cloak and the Sith and the darkness and the woods.
And the red.
Yeah, and the red.
Now,
yeah.
The inference that you could make from looking at that lightsaber is this. When Luke was hurt the most in battle, it was in up-close lightsaber fighting. None of the choreographed shit from the prequels.
Right.
Where they're spinning around and jumping and all that crap. When Luke was hurt the worst, it was when Vader or somebody was right up against him.
Mm-hmm.
So the utility of having that blade come out. Even using
the prequels, the Qui-Gon Jinn gets killed up close because Darth Maul headbutts him.
Yeah.
Hits him with the hilt of the lightsaber and then gets in and kills him.
Yeah, I think something, the hilt being sabers makes sense too, because every sword on Earth has a hilt because people hit swords and then they drag them down the blade. If they keep going, there's nothing to stop it from slicing off your thumb or your fingers. Hilt, and that would be the same thing with the Star Wars blades, right? They have no hilt, so why wouldn't they hit and then force it down and just rip your hands off?
It's defensive.
Yes, exactly.
Because if someone's got you up close and you can't move your lightsaber to maneuver, you pop this new blade out and it could go...
Right
into them. Right, yeah, and I agree. And to the point of, like, how do you not chop your thumbs off? The only people who really use lightsabers are people skilled in the Force.
Who know what they're doing, yeah.
I mean, they have to build the damn thing, so...
Right, yeah. Right. And the way they use them, they know to stay away from the blade of it.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, it's pretty wild. I get there's a lot of complaints online about the design of it, and it looks... It's a mix, because, like, the kid in me is like, that's awesome. And then, like, the designer in me is like... It doesn't look that great. Like, the Darth Maul double lightsaber was like, holy shit. And, like, that's really the only different lightsaber we've really seen.
I remember somebody explaining it to me, because back when Phantom Menace came out, if you weren't in the theater, the version you downloaded was over a phone modem. So I remember the first time I downloaded it, it took a half an hour to download, and I basically got screenshots with the sound running underneath. So I didn't see the double lightsaber, and I remember a friend of mine saying, no, he's got a lightsaber and two of them come out. And I actually thought they were side by side like a tuning fork.
Oh, that would have been like really wild.
I was like, that's really cool. And then when I finally saw the trailer...
It's like, oh, duh.
Which I think somebody lent me the VHS.
Yeah.
I think that's how I finally saw it. That's how long ago it was. I was like, oh, it's both sides.
Yeah.
So I'm cool with it. And I went with the kid in me. I'm a writer, not a designer.
Yeah.
So when those two came out on the side, I was like... Well, that's cool. You could stab a guy in the face with it.
Yeah.
we're going to learn its function. I mean, the Darth Maul double lightsaber was so that he could fight two people.
Yeah.
Right.
And he did.
And he killed one of them and fought the other one almost to a standstill.
And right. In Star Wars Rebels, which I'm assuming there was some debate. I mean, when we were on the panel at Wizard World, there was some debate whether or not Clone Wars still counted with Disney.
Yeah, I think we don't know yet.
But Rebels is coming out from Disney, so let's assume it counts. But there's a character called the Inquisitor in that who has a lightsaber that's a hilt and it has a ring around it.
Mm-hmm.
And then blades come out and spin like a buzzsaw.
Okay.
So we're already seeing there are plenty of different ways to do a lightsaber.
Yeah.
Basically, all you have to do is have...
Add more energy blades.
Yeah, all you really have to build is a gun where the laser beam stops at a certain point.
Yeah.
And if you want to build a bunch of muzzles on there and make them move around, then you can.
The other thing that I would question is, let's just assume for a second that the whole Luke Skywalker being the Sith Master is out of the question. The other thing is, that Sith in the trailer is going somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And he has that lightsaber with him because he feels that he's going to have to defend himself from something.
Yeah.
Again, going on the premise that Luke is exiled, he could be trying to find Luke.
Maybe he's trying to hunt him and kill him?
Right. Yeah.
Could be.
Yeah, because from what we've seen of Mark Hamill, it looks like he looks a lot like Alec Guinness in this. Like he's
awesome that it's yeah. it's like it's such point. A deliberate nod to yeah. it. It's just like that's so cool.
Again. Yeah, so I kind of don't want to believe he's the Sith.
Alec Guinness was an exile though.
Yeah.
And the other thing is Alec Guinness's Obi-Wan Kenobi was not painfully insecure about turning into his father.
Right.
Right.
Which...
Yeah, he was raised in a traditional Jedi way where he doesn't know who his parents are, don't care.
Doesn't care.
Yeah.
You know, they brought them into the Jedi Academy as infants.
But yeah. Luke was always very insecure about turning into his father. And he always said that his father was a part of him.
Right. And figure Obi-Wan's was more of a father figure to Luke than Darth Vader ever was, even though they knew each other for like a week, maybe.
Right.
But, like you said, it'd be more where he'll try to emulate Obi-Wan. The movie might start from Han and Leia's point of view, and they're like, oh, we haven't seen Luke in years because he's been exiled on Dagobah or whatever wherever he goes. Mm-hmm. He might go back to Dagobah. Fuck, maybe he just... Or he'll probably actually go to Tatooine, and they'll live on a farm, like, maybe the same farm
lot of Tatooine.
Yeah, you really do.
I mean, but we don't know what's up with Luke. We don't know what's up with Han and Leia, yeah. And that's the biggest question.
And actually, you know what? In this day and age of internet spoilers and rumors,
yeah.
This is kind of fun.
It is.
It really is.
I mean, I'm having
But what's really frustrating is, you know, the worst part of that trailer is it says December 2015. So that's a whole fucking year
yep.
from now.
You're going to see Age of Ultron and Jurassic World before you see Ant-Man.
There's going to be more trailers, though.
That's what I was going to say, is there's going to be more trailers that's going
to
show
there
the plot.
To be.
They'll show Luke, they'll show Han, they'll show Leia, they'll show the Sith again. And it's frustrating because it'd be nice to just see this teaser, not see anything else, and then see the fucking movie.
But
you cannot avoid.
You can't.
You cannot avoid trailers now.
But this reminds me. I mean, I have to go back to. Well, the other Star Wars were like this. I remember seeing the Attack of the Clones trailer, and they just showed a quick shot of Jango Fett. And the prequel trailers were very much like this.
Yeah.
The Star Wars trailers were a little bit more story and character because they didn't have this. Huge audience that would go crazy over breadcrumbs.
Yeah.
The trailers for Empire and Jedi were like, the other one's coming, here it comes, look, there's Luke, look, there's Han.
And
look,
the trailers evolved too, because, you know, the trailers back in the day used to be, you know, very like, here's what the movie's going to be about. Now the trailer is like, here's a teaser, which we didn't used to have, right? Where it's just like, they don't tell you anything about this movie other than...
Well, I remember in the 90s, people used to complain that trailers gave away everything, because
usually
in a movie, the coolest stuff is at the end, if it's a great movie.
Right.
Like, if it was an 80s Avengers trailer, you'd see a lot of the Chitauri fight.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'd be like, well... And I have been in movies, especially back then, where you're in the middle of a movie... And, like, using the Avengers as an example, if it was an 80s trailer, right, we would have seen, like, the Hulk smashing, we would have seen them riding the worm into Grand Central.
Yeah.
And when you're in the middle of that movie, when that helicarrier is going to crash in the ocean and Iron Man's caught in the turbine, there are plenty of movies where I went, well, they got to survive because I know I saw in the trailer that they fight a giant worm,
right.
So I'm not too worried.
Yeah.
They don't really do that anymore.
Now,
now things are flashed by so quickly. That you don't really retain them very well.
Yeah.
The other thing is that J.J. Abrams is borderline insane about keeping secrets. I mean,
I heard this is the most well-regarded set, the most well-secured set in movie history.
Yeah.
Star Trek was really tight. Like, I remember Winona Ryder complained on the set of the first Star Trek that she couldn't go out and smoke. Because she was in costume.
Yeah.
That's how tight he kept Star Trek.
Wow.
So you can imagine...
Yeah, you figure, and no offense to anyone who's interested in Star Trek versus Star Wars, because I'm not saying one's better than the other, but the hype...
But we do have the same director doing both, so it's hard right. not to
but
talk
I'm,
about
But I'm saying the hype for Star Wars always seems such much more higher than it ever was for Star Trek.
Yeah, because Star Trek, in the end, Star Trek is a TV show, and yes. they made some movies of the TV show.
Right.
But they were never huge movies. They were always... I remember William Shatner pretty much said this, is they knew how many people liked Star Trek and how many people would buy a ticket, and that's what they set the budget to.
Yeah.
And it was not a Star Wars budget.
No.
It was like a very expensive TV show. You think of the Next Generation films. They don't look that much different than the Next Generation show
did. Right. They almost look like not made for TV movies, but they look like a little bigger budget than the show
mm-hmm.
and just a longer episode.
Yeah, bigger action sequences, yeah. some new aliens, some new parts of the ship.
Bigger set pieces.
But not very huge. And yeah. I remember seeing that first J.J. Abrams Star Trek thinking, wow, this is what Star Trek looks like on a Star Wars budget. Because yeah. I never thought of the budget before.
Yeah.
But Star Wars is... It's going to be a much bigger budget than Star Trek because they know it's going to make much more money.
And the trailer shows it looks beautiful. That trailer looks phenomenal.
It looks Lord of the Rings. I mean, you can't even compare the Marvel movies to this.
Yeah,
I think it's already bigger than Avengers: Age of Ultron.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, again, the other thing that J.J. Abrams did, at least, wasn't it Alias, the television show?
Yeah.
And Lost, he is kind of this master of misdirection. Of, don't think that J.J. Abrams doesn't know that, like, we're sitting here recording a podcast, like, trying
and we're
to,
not the only ones.
Trying yeah. to take apart there, what's going on.
There are podcasts out
shows.
Already.
Oh, God.
People have the podcast out the next day. We just stick to Monday.
There's, right. there's somebody who did a two-hour podcast about
there's
this
somebody
already.
Who recreated yeah. it in Lego.
Yeah. Already?
The next
oh, yeah.
day.
That's
yes.
insane.
Oh, yeah. People are crazy.
Yeah.
But J.J. Abrams is not above complete and utter misdirection. That's what he did with Lost.
Yeah.
That's what he did with Star Trek Into Darkness. Remember how much he said that Benedict Cumberbatch was not Khan?
Yeah.
yeah.
And then there's a scene in it. There's no spoilers at this point. It's been out a year. There's a scene in it where Benedict Cumberbatch looks basically at the camera and goes, I am Khan.
Yeah.
yeah. So, I mean...
Yeah, he will outright lie.
And that's my question, is Han and Leia are obviously together, I would assume. And they probably have children.
It would be weird if they were divorced. It wouldn't feel like Star Wars.
Right. Or, you know, Chewbacca's there somewhere, too, but...
Oh, I forgot all about Chewbacca.
Chewbacca's
we're
going to
get, like, Chewbacca with, like, gray in his fur,
ooh,
which would be
I like
awesome.
That.
Now,
I like that because I already have gray in my fur.
There you go.
The thing is, though, is that we don't know where they are. If Han and Leia have children, those children are force sensitive.
Yeah.
Exactly the same way that Leia and Luke are. However, if Luke is exiled, it's to keep him away from
the kids.
Han and Leia's kids because...
Because he's just a crazy old man.
Because he's a crazy old man who's a crazy old hermit.
He's the Joker.
It would be pretty awesome if they made Luke... Or, like, Han and Leia be like, yeah, Luke's kind of crazy. The Force drove him nuts.
Wouldn't it be
yeah.
great? Wouldn't it be
he
great?
Lost a hand yeah. at one point.
But wouldn't it be great if he does the Joker laugh at one point?
But think about it for a second. Is that if they're keeping them away from Luke, it's not because Luke is corrupted. It's because they saw Luke almost get corrupted.
Yeah.
They were there for it.
Yeah.
They watched
yeah.
it happen. They saw
well,
Luke snap. When he went...
Not exactly. He's on the Death Star and then
right,
on Endor,
but
pretty close.
Very close. I mean, you know, the dude and Lando...
And, yeah, think of it, too. They don't really know what happened on the Death Star. Because pretty much Luke came back with Darth Vader's corpse.
Burned it.
And said, oh, yeah, the Emperor's dead, too. Well, what the
and
fuck
then,
happened
and
on
then,
the Death
and
Star?
Then during the party, he wanders away from the party.
Yeah.
And Leia's like, what are you doing? I'm just looking at Yoda and Obi-Wan and my dad, and sometimes he's old and sometimes he's young.
Yeah.
They're like,
I mean,
oh, I don't know.
You know,
yeah. give me
think,
that lightsaber.
Think about that story for a second. Is like, okay, well, we knew Lando flew into the second Death Star and blew it up.
Yeah.
And then, oh, and on the Millennium Falcon, this is one of those weird things that I noticed, to go on a tangent, is that that dish on the Millennium Falcon is still gone.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Fucking Lando. Well, is Lando going to be in this movie?
Well, remember there's an African-American stormtrooper who's probably not a stormtrooper. Who's
and
here.
We know there's only like six black guys in the
We're
galaxy.
Exactly.
Right? So it's either Mace Windu's kid or it's Lando's kid.
Well, Mace Windu can't have kids because Jedis can't do that.
And being dead makes it difficult.
But you know what? But to answer your question directly, I did not see Billy Dee Williams' name in the cast list. Sure. So I don't think he's in it.
But it could be his offspring.
They might say, oh, this is Lando's kid, and Lando died.
He got around.
I bet he died.
Oh, God.
You think Lando died?
I hope so.
Venereal disease? Ah, oh, come on.
For stealing the Millennium Falcon? Yeah.
Remember how smarmy Lando was? For trying to be Harvey Dent? Remember how smarmy Lando was in Empire Strikes Back when he was trying to pick up Princess Leia? He's like, hello, you should stay here with me above the clouds.
Right? Like, I got my cape on.
You truly belong.
And his bell bottoms.
This is a tangent, but have you guys seen the Lando Calrissian Key and Peele sketch?
No.
Yeah.
It's great. You know what? I'll post it on the Facebook page. But basically, it's like a low-level hustler in Cloud City just harassing Lando. He's like, Lando, you're awesome, but ideally, I'd be doing what you be doing, so you give me your number. And Keegan is just doing this great Billy Dee. He's like, that's fantastic.
I gotta watch that.
That's a great show.
Everything they do is great.
So, again, like, I want to know who the Sith is, and if Luke has turned bad, if the Force corrupted Luke. Because again, you can't, and this is the point of the whole Star Wars universe, you can't only have good.
And yeah, it has to be the balance.
You can't only have evil. In order for there to be balance, which is what Anakin was supposed to bring.
Right.
He was to counteract.
What was that? I mean, I know the prequels are murky, but was it the fact that he was both good and bad? Was that why he was bringing balance to the Force?
He was supposed to be. He was supposed to be the chosen one. He was a chosen one who was supposed to bring balance to the Force and save the Jedi. Because
Jedi seemed to be doing fine when they found him.
Because
they had a building.
Because of his midichlorian count and the fact that he was also immaculately conceived. So that was George Lucas's
thing, which they never explained,
but it's in the movies, so it counts.
Yeah. Because I always looked at it as like he technically brings balance, right? Because there's like way more Jedis than there are Sith, right? So then he kills all the extra Jedis for the most part, or 90% of them. Then he kills the Sith. Then he dies. Then
brings order
technically. Then by birthing or giving birth to Luke or whatever, now Luke is one of the few Jedis left. There's only maybe a handful of Jedis, and now maybe two Sith. So it's like that's as balanced as it's been, right?
There has to be two.
Right.
Right.
However,
and that's part of the plot of Jedi, which is actually the important part. When you see the prequels, is that the Emperor's trying to... You said this. I can't remember if you said this on the show.
I think it was on the show. It was something like the Emperor tells Darth Vader, he's like, all right, go get your kid, bring him here so that he can kill you and take your job.
Right.
And Darth Vader goes, okay. Yes, my lord.
Yeah.
And now fight to the death for my amusement.
That's the Emperor's gig, though.
And the whole,
he already did that.
And the whole time he's there, his tactic is, hey, Luke, why don't you kill me? Just go ahead. I'm old.
But he says, do it because that'll make you fall. When you get angry, that'll make you fall.
Yeah, because for the most part, he probably wants to be the Emperor and stay alive and all this stuff. But he has that monologue in
Revenge of the Sith about how the dark side is supposed to make you immortal.
Darth Plagueis.
Right.
Yeah.
Who is his master.
But that's what I'm saying. If the Emperor's probably thinking, well, if Luke does kill me, he'll go crazy and evil, then Vader and Luke will be the Sith. And I'm fine with that because it furthers the Sith agenda.
And that's Luke's plan. That's all join me and Vader's we will rule plan. The galaxy as father and son.
That's what it's like. It's crazy. Everyone's trying to get the job, you know?
I like that I never talk about Star Wars and it's still all in my head.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I think
like,
the Batman would have pushed it out.
Whenever it's on television around the holidays, I just sit there. I could recite the original trilogy from
memory. I always argue about Star Wars. I've said it plenty of times on the show. Is Ben doesn't like it. And he likes Batman, so I'm like, all right, we won't have that fight. Because I'm like, why am I going to fight for 2 out of 6 movies?
Yeah.
Right.
Because really, it's only Star Wars and Empire that I love, and most of it I feel like it's something from my childhood that I used to love. Like, it's kind of like G.I. Joe. I don't read G.I. Joe comic books. I didn't go to either of those movies. I don't follow it anymore. But when, in the early 80s, when those cartoons first came out, I loved it. I was obsessed with it. It was one of the things that got me into comics because Marvel published the G.I. Joe before the cartoon came out.
Yeah.
And now I look back on it as like, yeah, I don't like it anymore. Star Wars is kind of that. But I think this trailer is a good proof that if you prick that nerve, It's oh, all
yeah.
gonna, I want,
it's still there, yeah.
Yeah, I want it to be the greatest movie. I want it to be Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
I don't want it to be The Hobbit. And I, but the experience of going through the prequels, I've kind of calloused over that Star Wars nerve.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not one of those guys that hated it and got mad at George Lucas and railed about it. It was just by the time Attack of the Clones finished, I was like, yeah, I don't care anymore.
Yeah.
And I remember that Attack of the Clones came out the same time as Spider-Man. Spider-Man came out like a week or two earlier. And I remember when Renee and I went to see Attack of the Clones, we walked out with a shrug and we were like, hey, Spider-Man's playing next door.
Yeah.
And we just walked in and saw Spider-Man again. So it had already just kind of faded. And then Revenge of the Sith, I was like, well, let's see if we wrap it up. And I liked that the most of that prequel trilogy. But then you know what? A month later, Batman Begins comes out.
Right. Yeah, so it's kind of always getting brushed under the rug for a better movie. Yeah,
it hasn't been the biggest movie in the world since Phantom Menace.
Yeah.
I just checked. It was actually in the Return of the Jedi novel where Obi-Wan refers to Owen Lars as his brother.
So you all maybe okay. because it's so it does could that count be canon, but it might be.
It's in the Return of the Jedi novel.
It's though. In the yeah. yeah. Do the novelizations count?
I don't know.
I think I would assume because
they're usually based on early drafts.
I would assume not only because it seems like they're going to go with what most people would know,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of people have probably read that novel, but way more
and
people
you know
saw
that's,
the movie.
Because that's a bigger question. Because then the bigger question is, if they had shot it and cut it out, do deleted scenes count in a movie? They usually don't.
Yeah.
Like, I remember the, if you ever read the Tim Burton Batman comics adaptation, there's a bunch of deleted scenes in there. Like, there's a scene at the end where, after the Joker falls, they see Batman's cape on the ground, and then they pull it off, and it's Robert Wool underneath.
Who's that?
The reporter. The comic relief.
Oh, that
maybe
guy.
Maybe they should call him King of the Wickerk people. That
yeah.
guy. That's in the comic because it was
a
written in,
scene.
But it was a deleted scene. It's not even on
Do
DVD.
They have a scene where Batman's on a horse? I guess they wrote a scene where like Batman chases the Penguin, or not the Penguin, the Joker on like a horse because it was like out of Dark Knight Returns.
I would guess you could not get Michael Keaton in that rubber suit
on a horse. Well, I guess they storyboarded it. That's as
yeah.
far as they got with it.
Yeah, well, Robin is supposed to be in that movie,
yeah,
too. And that,
too.
That gets cut out. And, you know, so when Robin appears in Batman Forever, that deleted scene never happened.
Yeah.
So I would side with that it didn't, even if it was in the script, if it was shot and cut out and we never saw it and made it to the novelization.
But we do know that George Lucas gave J.J. Abrams everything. J.J. Abrams has everything.
Like, what do you mean?
To, he was given...
Oh, like all Lucas's notes and everything?
Yep.
Okay.
All the archive? Oh.
Yep.
And yeah, but remember that's actually really good, though,
that
because
is.
I don't trust Lucas on his own, and I don't trust J.J. Abrams on his own. Correct.
Yeah, because I always say, I mean, we talked about this multiple times. I love his first Star Trek. I did not like Star Trek Into Darkness, which is odd because when we did the podcast, we walked right out of there and we're like, no, it's really good.
Yeah.
But it was one of those movies where it was good when you saw the first time, but the more you
Watch
thought
it again
about
and
it,
think about
yeah.
it yeah.
the more you thought about it, the more it fell apart.
It's
and
that initial throw. We
I
waited
never,
a few years for that movie too, you know?
Yeah, I never finished the Blu-ray. Like, I bought the Blu-ray and I always get about an hour in and turn it off. It's kind of like Thor Dark World. I tried watching
yeah.
that again this weekend because you had it on the store.
Yeah.
I never really get that. Like, once they're on that skiff, like Loki and the Warriors 3, I just
yeah.
kind of... There's nothing wrong with that movie. I just get a little bored and I turn it off.
Yeah.
I
also like it.
I don't know what it is. I have nothing to dislike in it.
Yeah. But it's just that it doesn't hold the attention.
Yeah. And that's how I feel about his Star Treks, which is why I'm not like... I don't feel like I did with Lord of the Rings. Like, that trailer, when I saw that, I was going to see, like, The Matrix. No, it would have been later. I think I was seeing Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. Because I think that was the big movie in 2000. And they showed just the teaser trailer for the whole trilogy. And I was like, this is going to be the greatest thing ever.
Yeah.
I never had that feeling again. Like, every superhero movie, I'm always cautiously optimistic. Because how many pieces of shit superhero movies have
Seriously, there's just as many. And there's a lot now. There's
and,
probably double what there
and
were
And they're still
2000.
Being made. We haven't perfected
yeah.
the formula where
nope.
we're never going to make
because
a bad
one. Because
we
get one. Just as many good ones as we get bad ones. But none of them are... None, I would say, and I really like a lot of them, obviously, but I wouldn't say any of them are as... You wouldn't brand any of them as phenomenal.
Right, and
right?
we know that Fantastic Four one's going to be terrible. That's the
yeah.
one movie coming in the future that I am sure is terrible.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm always like that, and that's how I feel with Star Wars, but this trailer... There's nothing I saw in the trailer that I didn't like.
Well,
going... Soccer Bowl, R2-D2.
Going along that same wavelength, if we are rolling with the whole thing of Owen being Obi-Wan's brother, you now have a possible same thing happening, where Obi-Wan's nephew lives somewhere, and now Luke's niece and nephew live somewhere, and the bad guys are going to come after them.
Whoever they may be.
Are
they separatists? Yeah. Are they... I don't know.
You know, that's my thought.
That would be
mirror A New Hope.
Yeah, exactly. That would be beautiful.
Yeah.
I mean, other than, you know, Han and Leia getting burned to a crisp, but then there's a reason why they're...
I don't know, they're in three movies.
But then
are they signed for three?
Yeah. Mark Hamill, Harrison Ford, and Carrie Fisher are signed.
Oh, wow. Because I know Harrison Ford wanted to die in Empire in the Carbonite, right? He wanted to kill him.
Well, he didn't want to die in Empire. He wanted to not be brought back in Jedi.
Yeah.
Right.
So, and then he wanted to die in Endor. Because he said somebody should die, and he's been very candid about the fact
that... He does not like Han Solo.
Yeah, especially once he got Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
Like, his feeling has always been like, George, I respect you. Let's just make as many Indiana Jones as there were James Bond movies. I will make that all the time. Let me out of the one thing, and I'll still work with you.
Yeah.
But Han Solo is probably the most popular character in the entire saga.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So they're not going to let him go. And it was a big deal. And, you know, if the rumor is true, part of getting him to do this and break his leg doing it was that they would have to at least work on a new Indiana Jones, which they're doing.
Yeah.
Well, the cool thing about this is I feel like there's so many ways it can go. Kevin, thank you so much for bringing up some of them. Before we wrap up, we mentioned the Jurassic World trailer, which we watched again.
Yeah.
Is there anything we want to say about that?
I have one thing to say. Well, I have a few things, probably. But you know, they talk in the trailer, they were like, well, he genetically modified dinosaur. And assuming that there were probably several people in the meeting when they were discussing what genetics to use in the dinosaur, maybe one of those guys should have been like, hey, let's make sure to make it eat plants and not meat. They should have made it like a herbivore. Mm. Well, just think about it. If you're going to genetically create a new dinosaur and you want to make the coolest, baddest dinosaur, just go that extra mile to make sure it doesn't want to eat you.
Well, in the first movie, they went out of their way to make them all female, and that didn't work.
Yeah, that's true.
Life finds
a way.
And that's what Jeff Goldblum said.
That's what
he said. How dare you not remember a thing
Jeff Goldblum said? I didn't remember it. Somebody should have brought it up at the meeting.
Look,
But we see a giant underwater dinosaur eat a shark, so that didn't happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. The thing that I would say about it is in the Jurassic Park novelization, it really is just about a glitch in the system. And I remember probably the thing from the book that...
And that's not a novelization. That's the original novel, which I think holds more weight.
Well, that's...
Yeah.
Jedi
one.
Alan Grant tells Wu, the Dr. Wu on Jurassic Park, to count... He's counting all the dinosaurs and just they're coming up as numbers, but he has that one number as a maximum. And Dr. Grant goes, here... Have it search for 1,000 dinosaurs, and then it ends up that they have double the amount of dinosaurs that they were looking for, and it was just that's just stupid. Of like, oh, just search for 1,000 dinosaurs, and then you'll get exactly how many you have.
Right.
Yeah.
So it was really just...
It was a max number of a search field.
Stupidity and a glitch in the system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where they were breeding.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's... I mean, if they can bring that... same vibe into Jurassic World, I'll be happy. I mean, Jurassic Park is one of my absolute favorite movies.
Yeah, it's in my top three.
Yeah, I don't know what it was. It never quite clicked for me. It was... I mean, I love Spielberg. You know, he made Raiders of the Lost Ark.
And Jaws.
Yeah. Maybe it's because I never got to it in the movie theater, and I saw it on a very small screen on VHS for the first time, so I missed that massive impact. But then again, I had the whole summer to see it and I didn't go.
Yeah.
So I don't know what it is. I like dinosaurs as much as anybody else, but it never quite grabbed me. Ben watched it last week.
Yeah.
And this would be a moral dilemma for you. Ben was watching Jurassic Park in the living room. Renee and I were watching Avengers in this room. What would you do?
I would watch Jurassic Park. Because Avengers is streaming on Netflix.
I let that dead air run so much.
The greatest thing in the world.
This week.
I want to explain something that, that's been going around the news. There is a rumor that Constantine is canceled.
And oh, yes.
I love Constantine. I was talking about that was my greatest thing
a few weeks ago.
When the pilot premiered, and yeah. I recommended it to both of you guys. We watched it.
We watched this episode last week, the Voodoo one.
Yeah. I love that show.
It's my favorite new show on. I like it way more than Flash or Gotham in terms of the comic shows.
Yeah.
And Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is kind of chugging along. But what happened was NBC announced last week that they were not ordering what they call a back nine. They were not ordering another 9 episodes to Constantine. So Constantine ends this season with 13 episodes instead of going a full 22. So that was printed up in the media of, oh, it's already canceled. And I've had discussions with people already. They were like, oh, I had it in my DVR, but I didn't start it. I'm not going to start it now. It's already canceled.
Yeah.
And I feel like I want to explain because I've read a lot of articles about it. What's happened is that it premiered around Halloween, so they missed a bunch of episodes anyway.
Yeah.
So by the time NBC made announcements for all their first season shows, whether or not they would get a back nine, which is what they do now. Almost nothing gets ordered for a full season.
Yeah.
So when that came in, they didn't have enough episodes to clearly judge, so they just didn't pull the trigger on more episodes. They didn't say, all right, let's spend the money and make more episodes. Instead, they were cautious, and they were like, there's only been a couple, no.
Ride it out a couple more weeks,
let's
maybe?
Let's not pay it. No, well, they made the decision that they're only going to do 13, but there's a hashtag out now called hashtag Save Constantine, which is not an overreaction. It works. If you're interested in it, hashtag it out, because they said NBC's looking at this.
Oh, yeah. You figure NBC doesn't want to miss an opportunity to do a full show with superheroes, because there's so many of them now. Everyone wants a piece of that pie, I think. And it's something, too, I think, even if it did get canned and they didn't pick it up, you think maybe Netflix or Amazon Prime or somebody would be like, oh, we'll take it.
That's right. The direction that everything's going.
Yeah, right? Lately, Tina Fey's new show is going straight to Netflix with Ellie Kemper. Community's going to Yahoo. But Tina Fey's new show was supposed to be a mid-season replacement on NBC, and now it's going straight to Netflix, and Netflix gave her a 2-season deal.
Oh, wow.
But with Constantine, it is the fact that it is not canceled. They're still behind the show. At the Thanksgiving Day parade, they flew Matt Ryan and the girl that plays Zed in, you know, and it's one of those where they're just next to Al Roker and, oh, what are you thankful for? You know, and how's your new show? Tell us about your new show. So they're actively involved in the promotion.
Yeah.
They're still interested in the show, and the ratings are going up. That's good. Another thing. They said the ratings were at the level of Hannibal, which is still on. Oof. And they said it jumped. After they made the announcement last week, the Voodoo one that we all watched, the ratings were up 40% over last week.
Oh, that's a lot. That's a
lot. So if it keeps going up, they will bring it back for season 2, which is fine. In this day and age, I mean, you do 13 episodes and then you come back next year. That's what cable does.
Yeah.
So Constantine is still my recommendation. I really like it. The pilot blew me away. And then the shows have been solid since. Now, they haven't blown me away since. But I really like it. I really like him. And I think just get the word out that NBC sees if people continue to watch the show, they're absolutely going to bring it back.
Yeah.
So if you like it, don't give up on it. If you were thinking of trying it, definitely watch the pilot. I thought the pilot was great. And if you're not hooked by the pilot,
it's not for you.
It's not for you. It's very X-Files. And I don't watch Supernatural because it's very CW. But it's the first show that has scratched that X-Files itch for me. And it's probably since halfway through the X-Files.
Yeah, it's like a similar
vibe. That show didn't end well.
If you like it, tweet it. Kick them a like on Facebook.
Yeah, just don't give up. Just don't go, everything I like gets canceled.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's something that's interesting, especially in this day and age or whatever you want to say. There's a lot more voice fans have as far as how things go or what sticks around or what comes back.
Community is a perfect example. That was going to get canceled.
Exactly.
Every single season. The season that's going on Yahoo is season 6.
Yeah.
That's how long fans can keep something alive if they care about it.
My thing this week, I found it on Facebook. I'll try to find the video to post it on the Caffeinated Comics page. But it's like a superhero beatdown where they take two characters that never really would meet and then put them in a fight. And I'd only ever seen one of them so far. It was Captain America versus Master Chief. And this is live action. So they hire actors. They go outside. They film with cameras and everything.
Yeah.
They have special effects.
They'll do green screen.
Yeah. They do really cool. So the Captain America fight I saw was pretty cool. I was impressed with the effects and stuff. Well, this time they did Batman versus Darth Vader.
Yeah.
And the premise is basically the Empire somehow captures Superman and is holding him on the Death Star. And Batman infiltrates the Death Star to rescue Superman and then has to fight Vader.
That's awesome.
Right? And that whole premise just sounds like badass. And the first, it's like maybe 10 minutes long. It's just this little fan video. It's pretty sweet.
Five, I think
maybe a little shorter. Yeah. And most of it's just to get the excuse to put Vader and Batman in the same room.
Yeah, there's no real story. They see a couple of things that sound like them.
Yeah.
And they fight. Yeah.
But it's phenomenal. It is, even that first 30 seconds of it showing Batman getting into the Death Star is almost better than any Batman movie I've ever seen. He looks great. He has a great costume. He's using all these gadgets and stuff. It's like, it was phenomenal.
Yeah, Vader uses the Force. He uses his lightsaber.
Yeah.
He touches buttons on his chest that apparently now do things. I have one problem with it.
Yeah, and I don't want to spoil anything.
Well, my problem with it is who wins.
Right.
And I have a bigger problem with it because in the right-hand column it had other ones, and there was Batman versus Wolverine.
Yeah, I didn't see that one.
That one's pretty good too, but I also have a problem with who wins that one.
Right. And I think it's something where it's definitely worth checking out. Like I said, it's like a 5-minute video. The production's awesome. They had stormtroopers walking around in it.
It looks like they made the costumes themselves. They're not rented costumes.
Yeah, yeah, they're definitely something where I've never seen anything like. The guy who did the voice for Vader almost sounded like James Earl Jones. It was really, really, really well done. I was impressed. So that would be, I'll find it and I'll post it on the Facebook.
I will say, and this is actually a book that I've seen every time I go into Chimera's Comics in downtown LaGrange.
Ooh, nice plug.
It's called The Hero with a Thousand Faces by Joseph Campbell. And I do feel that that's an important book to read, especially if we're starting to talk about Star Wars, because that was the book that George Lucas read that made him write it. And it really helps you understand a lot of archetypes and things of that nature that go into the things that the three of us have talked about at great length, whether we're talking about comic book heroes or whether we're talking about movies or we're talking about other books, because you can find commonalities with Frodo Baggins or Harry Potter or Captain America, Superman, Batman. It's that all of those things can be plugged into things that you learn from reading this book. It's probably one of the most important books.
Wow. Yeah, I read it. There's also a really good series that Lucasfilm produced of interviews with Joseph Campbell.
Yeah.
Yeah, I rented it from Netflix. I got it from the disc. I got the discs, which they might still have.
Yeah.
But I think he did it on PBS. He did 6 half-hour episodes interviewing Joseph Campbell about the hero's journey and the Hero of a Thousand Faces, and it's really in depth. So if you don't want to read the book, if you're a person that just wants audio visual, there was a very, very good series done, and it was in the Skywalker Ranch.
Yeah,
and I think it might have been Bill Moyers interviewing Joseph Campbell, but Lucas produced it.
I mean, when we read The Hobbit last year at school, I made the kids understand the steps of the hero's journey because I'm an asshole like that.
You think they all walked out of your class going, what an asshole.
Well, because I just kept telling them, I'm like, this is like what happens in Harry Potter and Star Wars and everywhere that you look.
Yeah.
Every hero follows the same journey.
I wish Odysseus. I had a teacher that pointed that out. I didn't figure that out until like my mid-20s.
And I was a prick about it too, because I was like, now you have to read the Odyssey. And I'm like, and they're like, have you read it? I go, I read it in Greek. So if you get to read it,
there you go.
I go, so if you get to read it in English, you can be happy.
Right.
But I had to read it in fucking Greek. That's so get insane. Over it.
Well, good for you for being able to read Greek.
Oh, God. Don't even get me started.
As always, you can follow me and Not On My Book. That is the Twitter feed for Caffeinated Comics. You can like our Facebook page. We posted the trailer. The trailer's up there now if you want to see the Star Wars trailer. If you're listening to this and you haven't seen it yet, go right to the Facebook page.
Shame on you.
Yeah, you're not one of the 8 million people that did in 24 hours. And, you know, just tell your friends, pass it around. I love hearing stories. Kevin, you told me a story today. People listening very far away.
Yes, my buddy AJ.
Hi, AJ. Thanks for listening.
This episode's for you.
This episode is sponsored by AJ. Steven?
Always at 19 South LaGrange Road, LaGrange, Illinois.
On Twitter, I am at KevRyan81. Follow me. I have little tidbits of snark.
Caffeinated Comics is a Not In My Book production.